you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
Who's scruffy-looking?
You might wanna buckle up, baby.
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
Hey, it's me.
Everything you heard about me is true.
If you come with us, end this life for good.
Folks, friends, fellow aliens, we are the Scruffy Looking Podcasters, and this is episode number 66.
66.
Oh!
Execute order 66.
That's right.
This should be the ultimate milestone.
Could be, oh. Could be.
Oh,
today is the last day of celebration, day 5, April 15th, 2019.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously. I am your host, Jimmy Dice, and I am very, very exhausted. We have the original OG crew here tonight, so I might be jumping in to join us. Who knows? This has just been a fluid motion all week. No sleep, no nothing, but we're here. Here we are. We're still weird, and I'm just going to go counterclockwise, starting on my right. Ed, what's up, buddy?
Hey, that's me. Kind of sad. Last day. I don't have another day to put off doing shit at celebration.
And you've got to go home to your family.
I'm so like, sad about that. No.
Well, you're leaving one family behind and
going
to another.
It's all family, guys.
Oh.
Yep. No, it's been a good run, but all good things must come to an end. And also, counterclockwise from that, to my left, clockwise to my left, Kev.
Hey, what's up? Sad as always. It's a sad day, isn't it, boys?
Mm-hmm.
We've been how long together now? 5-6 days?
Partying? 2 years now?
Well, it feels longer.
It's going to be a while till we record together again, but
yeah, it's been amazing. It's been a 5-day event. It's just been great. It's been astonishing. It's tiring. You get to see, I've pretty much done what I wanted to do and see who I wanted to see, and it's just winding down. It's sad we're going home tomorrow, isn't it?
I know.
Can't they just a few more days? Come on. What's wrong with them?
I think my body can hold out.
Yeah, you do it for so long, and then you think, "Well, oh, that's enough. That's enough."
No, we've had a good
time.
We've
had a blast.
We have made a lot of new friends, a lot of new enemies. It's great. So you can email us, scruffypodcasters@gmail.com. Send us some questions. Do some shit. Leave us some reviews on iTunes and stuff like that. You can like us on Facebook /scruffypodcasters. Follow us on Twitter @scruffypodcast. You can follow myself, Jimmy, @Hebert207, Ed @ScruffyEdB, Kev @KPG1974. Send us some reviews, send us some emails, let us know you're out there, let us know someone's listening. Otherwise, we're just talking to ourselves.
The whole world is listening.
The entire internet is listening. So, yeah.
Flow through you. Good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, here we are. We have a lot of things to talk about. We did not record last night.
What reason was that?
We just had a lot of things going on. It was Game of Thrones, obviously, so that was going to happen.
The drinks.
And the night before that, we were definitely not going to. That was the drinks on that one. The drinks.
It was an okay episode. Nothing really happened.
Oh, yeah. Game of Thrones was trash. Whatever.
I almost cried at one scene.
I did almost cry at one scene, but then I didn't.
Oh, the reunion scene.
Oh my god, Jon Snow hugging Arya.
Oh.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Mm. Jon Snow's alive.
If they've not seen it, fuck him.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Like we lose half our listeners.
Fuck.
Yeah. Right.
Sure, they've seen it by now. Surely.
That's right. That's
surely,
right.
Surely.
No. I was great last night. The night before, I think I got a bad ice cube because wasn't really feeling right, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I had 20 beers, even though I only had, like, 12.
100.
12. Yeah. Maybe 12. I don't know.
You've had like 100 this week, right?
Yeah, it had to have been a bad ice cream. That's all chocolate.
Do you remember running around Chicago naked?
Nope. So we'll start. There's a lot of stuff that happened today, but we want to recap a few things that happened yesterday. I'm going to turn it over to Kev. Kev was present at the Overflow stage, Galaxy stage for the Mandalorian panel. Saw some exclusive stuff only to the people attending the Mandalorian panel. Could be explicit.
No,
who knows?
Explicit.
So why don't you give us a lowdown? LD.
Yeah, guys. So I know it kind of happened by accident, the whole sort of Galaxy stage, because we didn't win the lotteries, as people know, but... we went to the podcast the night before, Jimmy, and
someone else did,
and somebody else had a spare pass, and so yeah, I ended up going. I thought it was just a fantastic panel, to be honest. I thought it was great. First off, we got introduced with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni came out, and of course they talked about the concept of it and how much they enjoyed sort of working together, that they wanted to keep it fresh but bring in new Star Wars ideas, and of course straight away from there they brought some guests out. So we all knew Pedro Pascal was going to be the Mandalorian, so of course he got a rousing ovation, and he was sort of selfieing everybody and taking pictures and doing his stuff. It was amazing. But we knew he was playing the Mandalorian, so they brought Gina Carano out next, who they've now confirmed her character name as Cara Dune. Little is known. They weren't giving too much away, as you'd probably expect, but we know that she's a former Rebel shock trooper, is one of the things that they sort of gave us. Mm-hmm. She said obviously she was overwhelmed with everything, and yeah, it's just quite exciting to see her up there. But then we got the main dude. We got the main dude. Of course, all the Star Wars fans, when Carl Weathers was introduced, were doing the Apollo, Apollo, which is like...
I
want you, and he did it. Oh, God, it was absolutely amazing. I love that guy. So he's been confirmed his character name, who is called Greef, which is G-R-E-E-F. He's kind of, he sounds like they sort of introduced him as like head of the Bounty Hunters Guild. So it sounds like he hires, obviously, Pedro as a Mandalorian to do such a certain job. They just obviously talked about Star Wars. They did the normal Star Wars. Oh, what an honor it was to get into everything. And it went back and forth. And then we got some footage, which was... first off, it was kind of like we got a scene with sort of the Mandalorian going to get his the job, which was basically sort of not too in depth, but we got to meet his character and sort of see how he looked, nods to the holiday special, which we know, and he went in to see obviously the crime lord of it all, who's played by Werner Herzog, who's like the film director. And it was a really cool scene. He was obviously surrounded by stormtroopers, and we got to sort of see him giving him the job, and there was a little standoff with some stormtroopers. And
what's cool about the stormtroopers?
In what way? The
some of them are, we found out, are actually 501st.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you meant in the scene. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, no,
yeah,
no.
We'll get. Yeah, that was. So yeah, we'll come to that later. But just going through that, and then there were some real kind of nostalgic nods to lots of different Star Wars things. I mean, in the scene, we got to sort of see a TT-82, so you know, from Return of the Jedi, when the thing pops out at Jabba's palace with R2 and 3PO, that sort of introduced the Mandalorian, and then a Gonk droid took him to see this crime lord and everything, and we got to see other aliens. So there'll be lots of, which Favreau said, there'll be lots of nods to sort of classic Star Wars characters, and these, you know, which he said he's tried to introduce that and go to the EU and so on and so forth. We then got a little behind the scenes footage, so we got to see how they made it. This is where the 501st came in, which was a brilliant announcement. So we know now that they are in the film, they said they didn't have enough sort of stormtrooper armor and they didn't have enough sort of costumes. So who do you go to when you need a costume? You go to the 501st, yeah? And so we know that they're in it. And then we got to see some of the directors. So like Bryce Dallas Howard was on there. It showed you Dave Filoni sort of directing.
I think with Filoni, I think he had contacted... Sorry to go back to the 501st. He had contacted the 501st and didn't tell them what it was about.
Yeah.
And he was saying, oh, yeah, just come down. We're doing a thing. Everyone's assuming it's like a fundraiser or like a parade or going to a, you know, one of the charity events. And then they show up and it's like, oh, no.
This is real.
This is fucking good. And then he complimented them. He's like, if anyone knows how to act like a stormtrooper,
it's the
guys in the 501st.
Well, can I add to that as well? Filoni mentioned that most of the 501st, their armor and their costume is better put together
and more convincing
than if they had actually tried to manufacture and put it together themselves. I thought that was pretty good.
The ultimate kind of compliment, isn't it? To sort of say
Absolutely, for sure. So, there's
sort of lots of things in the behind the scenes, just lots of interviews and so on and so forth. they came back and just did some Q&As, kind of Twitter questions, which were kind of, you know, what inspirations do you get? One of the things that I really, really was excited about when they asked Pedro Pascal kind of what the Mandalorian was going to be like, is he good, is he bad, and who can you compare him to? Oh, dudes, I shit myself, because he said he's like a fucking Clint Eastwood type character. So he said, like, he asked like Favreau and he asked Dave Filoni, what should I go watch? What should I get for the inspiration? And they said, just go and watch a load of Sergio Leone films. Go and watch Once Upon a Time in the West. Go and watch Fistful of Dollars. Go and watch Good, the Bad and the Ugly. Go and watch Duck, You Sucker. This is your character. And I thought that was absolutely amazing, because if you've seen them, you know kind of what kind of situation, what kind of character this guy's going to be. And then it was strange, because kind of we thought it was finished, and sort of Jon Favreau just kind of went, oh, thanks everybody for coming. Let's wrap this up and blah, blah, blah. You could see people sort of standing out the seats and getting ready to go. And all of a sudden, he was like, whoa, let's sit down. Let's give you some more. And then we got the full-on trailer of this, which I don't think streamed anywhere yet. Is that correct?
No, correct. Neither of them have.
Yeah, which is quite strange, I thought. But yeah. I think this happened with the Rogue One in London, where they didn't think it streamed.
It didn't.
But and I thought this trailer was just brilliant.
It definitely brought out what I want to see more in Star Wars, which is like the dark, dirty, nitty gritty.
The underworld and everything. Mm-hmm, and once again, lots of Star Wars nods, but lots of new, fresh ideas in there. We got to see some couple of surprises for me. The one thing, certainly with certain characters and certain things in, I didn't know that Mark Boone Jr. was going to be in it, you know, from Sons of Anarchy.
Bobby.
Bobby. That was I had no idea he was in it, so maybe I was a bit slack with that. Apparently, the comedian Bill Burr is in.
That's a good sign.
You know, that's it.
He was in the show. What's the show that I like? Shit.
This is what these 5 days have done to us.
That's right. Days are blurring into the next. Well, while you're thinking of that, I want to mention a potential comparison to an expanded universe novel. So back in like 98 by Bantam, there was a book written, book one, The Mandalorian Armor. Now this is a one in a three series of the Bounty Hunter Wars. I read it. It was amazing. And the essential plot is Boba Fett working with the Bounty Hunters Guild, and then an evil force outside of the guild that is slowly turning members against each other, the Bounty Hunters Guild. You know, Boba Fett soon realizes the game is rigged as he finds himself the target of murderous factions, criminal conspiracies, and the evil at the Empire's dark heart. Boba Fett is always finished first, and in this game, anything less is death. Now, I am going to reread this entire trilogy when I get home.
Well, not now.
not now. But I would be interested to see if Filoni and Favreau actually pull something from this, which I think would be really cool.
I thought, yeah, I wondered that, because they were kind of definitely in the panel were hinting they brought a lot of EU into this.
Right.
Which I know clearly with certain people, that's going to be an absolute godsend, isn't it? That's going to be awesome.
EU, yeah, expanded universe. Back to Bill Burr. I meant Breaking Bad. As if I couldn't think of that name. God damn it.
Bill Burr in Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
See, that to me, because obviously, I'll be honest, I'm going to hold my hands up coming from England. I don't know Bill Burr that well. I don't think he's kind of made it big over there.
He's like a henchman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So.
He's good.
But in the trailer, we did get to see Giancarlo Esposito, which was awesome.
From Breaking Bad.
It's
a couple guys from there. That's good.
Yeah. Well, he's clearly kind of like the enforcer on the planet that they're on, because it looks obviously, we know it's set clearly a few years after, 5 years after Return of the Jedi, and it looks like it's kind of going to be one of these sectors that kind of Aftermath and Star Wars Uprising have talked about, where it's still under some sort of Imperial rule. So it certainly looks like that Werner Herzog's character is the main crime lord, and it's going to be like Giancarlo Esposito working for him. It's a real cool shot in a TIE fighter when he's it looks like he's firing at the Mandalorian and sort of flying things like that. So there's definitely going to be some cool stuff there on this planet. And there were little nods as well, things like the Kowakian monkey roasted lizards, like roasting, being roasted on a spit roast, which was like, some of the salacious come from, they're not going to be happy.
Yep.
If it's him, if he lived.
If he lives, you never know.
I think it's just, be like the porgs, just a general like, flame grilled, wasn't it?
Well, we know there's a lot of them because they're in one of the Rebel Resistance episodes.
That's what I mean. It's probably just
all shapes and sizes.
Yeah. Probably just a general thing. And yeah, and then there was just other Nord's Gung, you know, Jawas, Twi'leks all here and there. And I was kind of thinking, I don't know, I'm maybe more excited for this than the 9 trailer. I genuinely thought it was that interesting and that good.
Well, they gave us more, so it makes you a little more excited.
Definitely. Yeah.
But that Emperor laugh. It's tough to top.
The
rise of the Senate.
But, yeah, I mean, on the behind-the-scenes thing, they did some real cool stuff about the sort of stop-motion stuff they were doing. They showed the new ship that he was going to be flying, which is the Razor Crest.
Razor Crest, which is an old Clone Wars gunship.
Yeah, it's kind of got the dual engines at the back, and it's kind of like all looks really cool. So we get to see the Mandalorian flying that and sort of going off on his missions. But just great panel. So,
I agree.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Loved it.
I mean, speaking of Clone Wars and Clone Wars ships.
Oh, look at you.
Look at you. Go.
That's what we call professional, folks.
Oh, and I got a Mandalorian poster. Right, fuck you. Well, I got one you didn't. So, there you go.
Nice.
At least you got something at a panel.
That's right.
We'll talk about that later.
I got nothing. But yeah, something that also gave us some tasty bits.
Yes. So, Clone Wars panel, none of us were there.
What a surprise.
I think we were busy doing something.
Drinking. That could be a song.
Or hungover, one of the others. So I caught some of it on the big screen on the Star Wars show stage, and then some of it next to the Star Wars Underworld booth. They had it streaming. They did a trailer, which looks fucking awesome. This makes me excited for season 7, and I will play it for you right here coming up. And it's great because you hear about a new unit of clone trooper.
Yeah,
more toys.
Yeah, more cosplay,
more Disney money.
And then I'll talk about something from behind the scenes that they showed us as well afterwards. So here is the trailer for season 7.
I'm not coming back.
You are making a mistake.
Maybe. But I have to sort this out on my own. without the council, and without you.
Where exactly are you from?
I used to live in the upper levels of Coruscant. You're probably better off down here. With the Jedi running around, starting wars.
I've watched so many of my brothers fall during this war. Fives, Echo, Heavy.
Master Yoda, your thoughts on how to win the war?
No longer certain that one ever does win a war. I am.
You'll never see any Jedi around here. It's not safe down here. Things could have gotten messy for you. That's why I've got my ship.
What squad are you taking in?
Experimental Unit Clone Force 99.
The cavalry has arrived! Cavalry! Attention!
Glad to have you back, Commander.
Good as new. Maybe a little better.
Hoping for Kenobi. Why are you here?
Maulin Owls.
Oh,
wow.
Holy shit.
That trailer blew me away. And I just finished doing a Clone Wars rewatch, so I'm like in it to fucking win it. I saw that.
Heard.
Oh, so I love how it started out with the Ahsoka leaving the Order.
Yeah, from thing.
Like kind of, but like a little different view. It seemed it was black and white actually, and then it switched to color when it became like current.
Yeah,
but if you've listened to our previous episodes, I love that like the cinematography they did with her walking away from Anakin in front of the temple there.
It's stunning, isn't it?
With the Coruscant skyline there really in the background. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And emotional, too. Yeah, really well done. Yeah.
Very emotional, yep.
Yeah, so some of the highlights that I thought were cool with it, probably missed a bunch, but, you know, doing a quick overview.
Good to you can.
Her getting down in the underworld of Coruscant, the belly, the underneath, the 1313 level or wherever, whatever level, looks amazing, like, there's a shot with a ship flying down to like some buildings and city with like buildings coming from the ceiling, you know, like you're in a cave. So upside down buildings coming down, and buildings coming up, so like stalactites and stalagmites or whatever. Looked amazing. I can't wait for more of that. The new unit, Clone Force 99 or something like that.
Yeah. Funny how it's an inverted 66.
Isn't that funny?
Mm.
Good. And then they're like badass. They showed a little clip outside of the trailer to us about that, and it showed them taking on like full like 100 battle droids and a couple like spider droids.
Yeah,
and owning them, absolutely owning them, like shooting, like working together. One guy throwing a grenade, a sniper shooting in the air, and then it doing an EMP shockwave and destroying like 20 of the battle droids. It was pretty cool.
Very methodical, almost like Spartans.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. You're right.
Moving as like one unit together. Everyone's got their job.
Yep. good. And then next, the big thing was her lightsabers.
Well, that was my favorite.
So we talked about in the book, Ahsoka. She doesn't. She starts out not having the lightsabers she had. So we assumed it was the green ones, right? And then she ends up getting white ones at the end. And for Rebels. But in this, it looks like she gets two new ones that are blue from her previous green.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
And given to a Bionicin, by the way.
Yeah. You guys, you like that?
Oh, I love that bit.
I think it's great. I mean, I think if you recall the opening lines to the book Ahsoka, it starts off with her and Rex parting ways and her having to basically fake her own grave on Mandalore after an inferred confrontation with Darth Maul or with Maul. And in the beginning of the book Ahsoka, she clearly states how she has to bury her lightsabers. So I think this final season of The Clone Wars is going to segue very fluidly into the Ahsoka standalone novel and anything else that they want. I think it's just kind of like a last tie-in bit that sort of closes the door and be like, all right, this is Ahsoka's path. This is it. We're done.
You speak about her path, and I think the lightsaber color really reflects her path because you start, she had green while she's in the Jedi. Now she's out, but helping out, and she's now transferred to blue. Yeah. And then gray thereafter.
Yeah.
Gray Jedi. That's really, there you go.
Right? Really cool. I really like that sequence where they showed her owning some Mandalorians in one of the gunships and then, like, taken off on a jetpack with another one.
Oh,
it was kind of like
a nice
fluid, long sequence.
That had some great animation, didn't it?
Really.
It showed you, like, the...
really cool.
Yeah.
And then her landing on that platform and using the two lightsabers to slow herself down, stabbing them into the ground. Love that shit.
That was so... I mean, if anybody knows Ahsoka, then Filoni does, and it was just such a great shot, wasn't it, of everything, of how she is and her stance. And that was awesome. Yeah, that was awesome.
And she holds them like that, too, like down and away. Yeah. So it's, like, perfect. And then, obviously, finally, Maul.
Who cannot be excited with Maul.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what have we heard about Maul from this panel? He is now being motion captured by...
Ray Park himself is definitely going to do it. Yeah.
So we got the real body with a voice. Well, the voice from Solo.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And everything else except the movie, except Phantom Menace.
it's not the original voice.
Right. Right. No, pretty much.
Peter Serafinovich, who I think fell out with George or something.
I don't know. Well, I think... Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think there was something there. I think
he's in quite a lot of stuff in the UK, and he's...
I think he auditioned for Solo. I think they had him come in and record, but they took Sam Witwer instead.
Yeah, which I thought was strange, because obviously... I think he was quite critical of the whole process anyway.
Yeah.
The original Darth Maul voice.
Lesson learned. Don't piss off George Lucas.
But I also liked... because they showed quite a few clips, didn't they, in the panel as well?
So there was a behind the scenes... I'll talk about one... the other one was, like, just cool.
Yeah.
The one that really, like, meant something to me was, it wasn't a fully rendered, it was just, like, half-made animation, and it was Anakin and Ahsoka walking down a corridor, and they're talking, and then they're passing some clone troopers, and they're saluting Ahsoka and Anakin.
Mm.
And Ahsoka turns to Anakin, and she's like, "They shouldn't be saluting me. I'm not a Jedi anymore. Mm. I'm not in the Order." And he's like, "They respect you. They know what you went through and understand, you know, and they're giving you respect because you deserve it." And they still call her Commander.
Yeah.
So, which is really cool. And then they get to the end of the hallway, a door opens, and it's Rex standing with his platoon. You see this in the trailer. And they're all holding helmets that are painted like her face, which just like, hit home there for me, and it was really
that was
really
my favorite out of everything. I think what a scene that was. They were kind of like, she was kind of thinking, obviously, I don't deserve this. I'm not a Jedi anymore, and to get the respect from the clones. I think there's a line of like, I think Anakin says they remembered what you did for them, was it, or something like that. If I'm remembering it right, which just hit home big time. So
definitely.
That was But he had some good stuff in that panel, Filoni and everybody, didn't they?
Did anything else that you got from it?
No, not because I haven't watched the whole panel in full yet, which I'll probably watch when I get home.
Yeah,
I've only watched the clips from it and the little brief things. I wanted to watch the trailer, obviously.
Yeah, they talked about her new outfit.
It just added a bit and other and a outfits, bit colours. Is it greyer or something?
Like blue-ish.
Yeah, so it's clearly... It's a little bit sleeker, isn't it? And a little bit sort of... not too much difference, but really cool little...
And Maul's outfit is different, obviously, because he looks different. The other scene that I had mentioned was just her on a speeder bike that malfunctioned or was sabotaged. Who knows?
Yeah.
And she's just, like, falling down the hole towards the underworld in Coruscant, you know, trying to... You know, running on the wall while holding the speeder bike kind of deal. It was pretty cool, but, you know, nothing lore-wise, really, that was cool.
Nothing revolutionary, but it's a cool action scene that gives you a little bit more, knowledge into, or just functionality of how the swoop works. You know, it's really more like a motorcycle, not just some floating speeder bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hog, and she rides hard and dirty.
Yes, sir.
You weren't talking about the speed about that, right? Something else.
I'm excited to learn more about Ahsoka and her being out of the order. And then I don't know if they'll touch on Order 66 during the season, but we'll see.
They may finish with that.
I bet they will.
They'll finish with it.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. That'll be maybe the final.
Well, shooting back to the Ahsoka novel, basically Order 66 had happened, but Rex and his boys refused it. They were able to withstand the command from the Emperor to execute all the Jedi. So, in that book, Ahsoka faked her own death. Rex also faked his own death so that he could then escape with his clones, and we won't meet up with him again until Rebels season 2 or 3 or whatever. Two, I think.
Yeah, because he was personally reflecting in that trailer, I don't want to do this anymore.
Exactly. They're more than just machines and clones. They are.
Yeah, they have their own identity, aren't they? And everything. Yeah, cool.
They just have a chip in them that makes them do certain shit, like
chip, you know, on the shoulder.
Kill fucking Jedi. Speaking of killing Jedi.
I mean, there's not many Jedi left at that point.
And
but,
Order 66. You want to talk about
66?
A video game?
Execute.
Yeah.
Order 66.
So I'm pretty excited. So Respawn, teaming up with, well, rather, EA, Electronic Arts, hiring Respawn to put together a new single player game with, it's called Jedi: The Fallen Order. Single player game, no loot boxes.
Microtransactions.
The bullshit factor is,
well, I like them things.
No, the fact that they actually the fact that they actually had to say this for a single player game at a convention in a panel just shows how shitty they are as far as Electronic Arts is concerned. I'm sorry. But the fact that you have to say that there are any loot boxes in a single-player game where there wouldn't be anyways because it's a single-player game.
There's microtransactions sometimes in single-player games for, like aesthetic stuff. Like
Maybe some outfits, costumes, clothing, something like that, but nothing significant. But, the fact that they have to come out and say that, like...
Oh, no, I'm with
loot boxes, like, yeah, there shouldn't be anyways.
I bet that got a good reaction, though, when it sort of thing, because panels when they've announced all these things...
They've just been booed.
Yeah,
I feel like if I was there, I would have been booing as well.
I've been there before in those panels. I mean, I'm, you know, you two are the far more with game-wise than me, but when I was at, I think... 3 years ago, maybe, in the London, and people were just giving EA so much shit. It's
certainly well deserved. So we have the story here is we have an ex-Jedi.
Do you want to do the trailer first?
Yeah, just do the trailer because that'll help.
Yeah, there was a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
hit it.
Here we go. We'll listen to it with you.
Wasn't always like this. But now, there are 3 rules to survive. Don't out. Accept the past. Trust.
If that's not the Avengers theme, then I don't know what is, folks. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry. Ed, please continue.
That's so true, though. It sounds just like it.
I just had to get that out.
So, I think, there's obviously a lot of great visuals in the trailer, but I think a lot of the good stuff is in the audio, in what he's saying. Because he talks about three rules to survive, and he says it twice. He goes through the rules twice. First one, don't stand out. Makes sense.
Mm, keep undercover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, looks, he's looking around. There's fucking stormtroopers everywhere. He's apparently starting out as a scavenger.
I was going to say, he's clearly in the kind of disguise and underworld in the trailer for those who haven't seen it. So he's clearly trying to...
And that's a great visual where it shows like this... Whatever it is, slicing open a venerator?
Yeah.
Star Destroyer?
It definitely looks like a venerator. It's definitely not an acclimator. It's too thin and sleek. Acclimators are very short, stubby, and fat.
Okay. And so we may be right or wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We have no
idea. If we're wrong, we're wrong. Yeah, what's
anyway, he's scavenging a Star Destroyer with a group of people and a company, and something goes wrong. One of his buddies who's working with starts falling to his death.
Let it go.
Let it go. And he says, whatever you do, don't reach from within. As his buddy's falling. And it's like, obviously, don't use the force. And it's, you know what this reminds me of? Magneto.
There's clearly a nod to some DC stuff in there.
You know what I'm talking about? Magneto in Apocalypse?
X-Men. Oh, yeah. No. Big time, man. Big time.
When he's like working at that refinery or whatever and the thing falls and he stops it.
Yeah, but there's a bit of DC there as well with like superheroes, Superman, like...
Oh, like the Avengers theme?
No, yeah.
Or Man of Steel. Man of Steel was like that because Kevin Costner was always like, don't no matter
reveal
what.
Yourself until... And
then
he
saved all of his friends from the bus.
And it's clearly...
The school bus.
It's a... regular theme in science fiction of your identity and everything, but clearly
so the three rules were: don't stand out, accept the past, meaning accept Jedi, move on from that time of structure and safety and peace. It's gone. Accept it.
Move on
to the Empire and survive.
Move along.
Mm-hmm. Also, rule number three: trust no one.
Didn't I tell you not to trust
anyone?
X-Files.
X-Files.
Dr. Jones.
Or that. Yeah. I go to X-Files in my head. But anyway. And you get to see a new toy, Purge Troopers.
Oh, I mean a new character.
I mean,
oh, no, wait,
yeah, yeah.
A new toy. Yeah.
A new toy and a new character.
A sweet,
from the comics.
Sweet looking trooper with a vibro staff or something. You know, it looks like those magna droids or whatever. You know, they're holding the staves. Mm-hmm. Also, looks like a big antagonist. The second sister.
Who we have seen before. Mm.
We have.
We have seen before. Well, we've read before.
Yeah. Those who've read the comics, read the Vader series, have seen her in a couple of the issues in the background, possibly, when they show all the Inquisitors. So she's one of the Inquisitors.
She kills Heath Coat, don't she?
You know, I can't remember her involvement with...
Sure, she's the
one...
Was
she the one that killed him?
Yeah, okay, she's had a big role in the Vader comics before, yeah.
I couldn't remember, yeah.
Mm. So it's cool to see her. I mean, clearly, she's Vader's Inquisitor, isn't she? She's the one that Vader sends out for certain missions. So I'm quite interested with this because I think I do kind of quite like the idea of seeing what happens after Order 66 and who survives and who doesn't, and they've touched on it in the Marvel comics, so this could be a real big game.
The way she breaks that glass, that's really cool.
It's great at the end.
And then a couple more things. He picks up what looks like it used to be a lightsaber staff, you know, like almost like what the those guards in the temple, Jedi Guardians.
Staffs.
Like, almost like that, but it's, like, broken in half, and he's holding half of it, and it ignites.
It almost looks like a wooden staff, like Gandalf's staff, almost. You know what I mean?
Like it used to be?
Yeah,
like metal, but it's like, broken on the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's cool. Like, he finds it somewhere. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I heard... The saber, the lightsaber, like, improves and grows as you advance through the game.
Oh, so it's kind of like a...
Yeah, like an RPG kind of thing.
So maybe you can turn it into a staff at some point. Or not. Maybe that's, like, your agenda.
Do you start with the lightsaber in the game?
I don't think so.
No, so you will...
Yeah, I think you probably get it over time or the beginning.
With any good RPG, they don't want to give it away too quickly. However, I better be able to play this game for 24 to 48 hours minimum. I don't want to be done in 7 hours with this freaking game. I know they say open world, but that still means BS when you can defeat the whole main narrative within 6 hours.
Have they given any story details away?
No, just basically just what we're seeing.
Let's just watch our expectations here and not get over.
We're all fine. We're all perfect.
Let's watch our expectations grow and then fail.
No. I actually hope we get a Jimmy Dice rant on this one in a few. Get the game out and fucking let's.
Jawa Jimmy rant.
All we'll do that episode is just say, Jimmy, what did you think to Fallen Order?
Awful.
Go!
So he goes through those rules again. Don't stand out, accept the past, trust no one. And then he ends it with trust only in the Force.
Yeah. So what you think is his monologue of being like, don't trust anyone, life is awful, life is over. No, you trust in the Force and everything will be aight.
Yeah.
Unless Force decides that you need to die.
Well, then if that's just...
Which apparently it did with the Jedi Order.
Yeah. I mean, and then it's the will of the Force.
Right. Trust it.
Exactly. There we are.
The way of things.
So what are you guys excited for that? I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm not a huge gamer, but I play all the Star Wars games. I play Battlefront 1 and 2 because the stories are pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this one in particular for me, because I want to see the Order after the Order 66 and... Obviously, we've had the Jedi Purge and everything, so I want to see where this story goes. It certainly looks like it's going to be set in a underworld, gritty type. He's hiding out, so...
Yeah.
Let's see, exciting.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be super dope. I mean, the way graphics are and everything else with the latest consoles and computer games, you know, it'll be made for this current generation's level consoles, so I don't think we're going to see any super... jumps in advancement of graphics or anything like that. It's going to be timed out and match up exactly with the PS4 and the Xbox One X and Xbox and so on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's some cool stuff. So yeah, I guess there really isn't a transition from here other than that we're going to go to the 20th anniversary panel. The only
we're going from something.
Couldn't even segue. I was just like, let's get this.
Let's go from
just
something awesome to something not so awesome.
Let's get this started. Let's get this over with. So this is the only panel that we were all actually able to get into together.
If you want more info, you can watch our video on Facebook.
Yeah, we've been posting a couple videos throughout the day today. We were a little bit more active today. Sorry, folks, we weren't active the other 2 days. We were busy putting our lives back together. It was a little bit lackluster, a little bit milquetoast. I guess so. My generally speaking, we'll go into the details first, but from my perspective, our general perspective, and all the other folks that we're talking to, like Chris and Graham and the folks from Canto Bite downstairs and Johnny and some of the other guys, the 20th anniversary panel, the Episode 9 panel, the Mandalorian panel, those were the top. Those were the big three, we'll say. Fallen Order behind that, Galaxy's Edge behind that. As far as the big panels you want to go to, there should be something going on there. Like, there's going to be some kind of big reveal, a lot of info, a lot of great stuff. And we go to the 20th anniversary panel thinking, like, oh my God, they must be pulling out Liam.
It's supposed Ewan. To be good.
It's yeah. supposed yeah, to yeah. be good. You
there
know?
Was a lottery for it.
And there was a lottery. Yeah, there was a lottery for it. And granted, it was a very well done. It was a very well done sort of tribute to the Phantom Menace. We got to hear from a lot of the talented folks who put it together, which was great and awesome. But I was expecting a surprise. I was expecting something more. This was very unexpected. This was very expected, rather.
No, we got a poster. Oh wait,
we got a poster. We got a T-shirt.
We didn't get a jacket.
We get a pat on the back to say
it fucking sucked.
Yeah, we get a pat in the back and there
no, it
you go.
Didn't suck. It wasn't.
It was very interesting and I liked it, but for a lottery panel, and the hype, 20th anniversary. That's a big deal.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It was underwhelming, like you expected.
I think that's the word because for me, I mean the. They brought on originally like John Knoll, Doug Chang, Matthew Ward, and what was the other girl's lady's name? Joan. Oh, I can't remember. Oh, God, my mind's gone. But anyway, so they were kind of like the designers and the sound designs and visual effects and everything. And to be honest, for me, it was nice to see, but Doug Chang basically said exactly everything he'd said in his panel. John Knoll had seen sort of expressed before, and so there was kind of nothing exciting in that bit.
Mm. They even some of you mentioned like, "Oh, I've said this before," but
yeah, I mean, it was kind of like nice, and it was great. Get them on stage; they contributed quite a lot to it. the acting, but then we got after that point. That was when for me, the kind of just. The disappointment, shall we say.
I mean, when I have to look at my clock during it to be like, all right, how much time's left? Is there room for a surprise?
That's a great point because I was doing the same thing.
More interviewing.
It was like, I think at one point I looked and it was like 10 to 12 and kind of Mr. Fucking, I'm here, you know, I'm the star of Celebration, Anthony Daniels himself was like, fucking going on again. Like, oh my God.
I like the shit Warwick was giving him. That was funny.
That was great.
Warwick Davis was hosting the panel. He always does a great job.
Yep, he does.
He does a great job. I do love Warwick. I think he's fantastic. And fucking clearly, though, I mean, I love the ovation that Ahmed Best got.
Yes.
That was.
Absolutely.
Oh, chanting his name, Ahmed, and the shit that guy's been through. I'll be honest, you know, I criticised him, I criticised the character, but no human being deserved what he went through. But to see the reception and the love that he got in that room, which he has, I suppose, over the last four or five days. But once again, I wanted to hear more from him. I don't know what you guys kind of thought been...
Yeah, he was kind of passed over real quick.
Yeah, and but then again, it was kind of Anthony Daniels taking over again and doing the sort of banter with Warwick Davis. I mean, prior to that, we'd got Ian McDiarmid and Ray Park on, which...
They had a real nice chemistry.
They were really good, yeah. I mean, they were, you know, they spoke and, you know, of working together, how they got the roles, and clearly they were asking him about the secret side of it and the episode 9 stuff and trying to get stuff out of him there. And
that was pretty good.
I love the little bit when he was kind of like, oh, it was a surprise to see. And he was like, yeah, I was just passing by. And
dropped in
just
for a
dropped
laugh.
In for a laugh. Yeah, yeah. I was like, that was, that was absolutely, that was awesome. That was just fantastic. So
I like Ian's recollection of the premiere when because he played Senator Palpatine and Sidious in the movie. And Liam Neeson, I guess, had no idea he was both characters. And he comes up to Ian at the premiere and he's like, it was you, you bastard. It was you, you bastard.
You can imagine, I mean, you can imagine like the size of Liam Neeson compared to, say, Ian McDiarmid. He must tower over him and he's just like striding over going, it was you, you bastard.
That was great. Just great.
Yeah.
Just great.
You can totally picture him saying
that.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But it was just kind of a safe panel, shall we say. It was nothing. I think we were all disappointed that
it was very safe indeed. I mean,
just to cover it, it was her name was Jean Bolt.
Bolt. I apologize. Yeah. She's done some really good stuff. I think they showed some
digital model maker.
Yeah,
she was really
Sebulba,
cool.
She did didn't she? She did the Sebulba stuff they were showing.
It was her
she
first celebration.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that was
so
great.
The stuff she said was great. I liked it.
Yeah, and actually, like an actual true pioneer in her craft, like really a lot of stuff from episode one in general really set the stage for all the computerized animation and live action stuff that we get today. So she's really,
and I think,
really
I think,
pioneer in that.
I think the film now... he's getting more credit for that than it was at the time.
Yeah, well, they really emphasized that George wanted to do things that were not, you couldn't do at the time.
Yeah.
They were impossible. Impossible, but like they were like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
They were writing lists of things they needed to figure out.
Doug Chang talked about, like, when he got the job, because I think, you know, he was working with him, and he kind of said he was going into it thinking he was going to have to do, like, classic Star Wars, if you will, like, all the designs were based on the original trilogy, and George just went, you're doing none of that. It's like, and he was like, oh shit. And I like the comparison where they said that, like, kind of the prequel trilogy were based in sort of like 1920s sort of designs and look, so they had like a sleeker look, and they, you know, in his panel he was talking about this and going into it in more depth, and he showed you like certain stills and certain snaps of certain designs from the 1920s. So things like the Naboo Starfighters and Queen Amidala's ship and things like that were based on that kind of African 1920s thing.
And shiny.
And then like the original trilogy were based on like the 70s, where they were kind of grittier and more beat up and everything. Yeah. I really like that.
Angular.
Makes, and I think that makes sense when you kind of watch them. But I think... the prequels are, and certainly episode one, I think is getting more credit now than it was at the time. Because I remember at the time, well, I was 25, 26, the backlash that it was getting for its kind of like, oh, it's all digital, there's no, you know, practical sets, it's, you know, but some of the panels, I mean, it surprised me, just I think they used a lot more miniatures and models. Like Doug Chang in one of his panels was showing some of the models that they made, and they were stunning. They were, you know, like the Theed Palace and things like that. That they, you know, so the Pod Racer Hangar Bay, you know.
Oh yeah, the hangar at the beginning of the episode one where they destroy the Republic ambassador.
Yeah, things like that were all models and things like that.
Yep,
and it
that was a model.
So I do think now that after that initial thing, I think people are giving the film a lot more love and credit, you know, now. And it was, you know, we found over this 5 days just a lot of how much love that film's got.
Mm-hmm. Well earned.
Yeah. And so, but as a panel, I think we all agree, that.
Yeah. Meh. I should have put that up on eBay for $500 for that ticket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? I bet people, like, I know people are asking to, like, trade sort of panels and Like, I'll trade Episode 9 for The Phantom Menace, and I'll trade The Mandalorian for... Could you imagine if you'd fucking traded Episode 9 for Phantom Menace?
And you absolutely could.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just email... Well, we found out, despite all the, you know, strict talk and verbiage that we got based on, you know, you can't trade this, that, and the other thing. All you had to do is just email the QR code that you got in your acceptance email to any of your friends, and they could all scan it and get in.
They weren't checking anything.
No. I mean, they were scanning...
They weren't not even checking your seat.
Nope.
Because you get a section where you can sit. No one looked at what I just went like, section 103? Because that's where we were. And then they pointed. They didn't look at anything. They didn't...
You got to think, too. They probably... I mean, they may assume that everything is so regimented like this that Star Wars fans are always very, very careful about having the correct seat, having the correct tag for this, making sure they're in the correct area or something like that, that people would be too scared to try, or very few would try to just like jump ship and get a seat somewhere else. But yeah, that was our morning today. We wrapped up some shopping and things like that. We also had an interview on the floor. We had an interview on the floor with Vanya from Rattle and Burn. She is a cosplayer and costume designer for Thrawn and General Hux, especially First Order officers and so on. Had a really great conversation with her. She'd been doing this for 10 years.
She's very nice.
She's very nice, super chill, really excited to talk to her. And maybe someday we could have her on the show. That would be super awesome. You can check out that interview. It's like a 4.5-minute interview. Check that on our Facebook page, slash Scruffy Podcasters, and you can listen to the whole thing there, have her talk about what she does, how long she's been doing it, and the cool things and impressions that she got from this year's celebration. So, go check it out, folks.
Yeah.
Other things that you guys bought today? I bought 3 more Black Series, bringing my total Black Series purchase to 6. I got a sweet deal, 2 Death Troopers for $15, and I finally got my General Veers. So I was so excited about getting Veers. We have Veers for Veers.
Veers for Veers, hashtag.
That's right. The Veers were $35. I'm like, come on, man. I know it's a Walgreens exclusive, but for crying out loud. So I whittled the guy down to $27.50, which I counted as a victory.
So we were chanting beers for beers.
I think that should be the episode title.
Yeah,
if we weren't doing a celebration part, whatever / beers for beers,
I'll put it.
Hashtag. But yeah, any other things that we purchased and bought today? Ed, you seem to.
Ed.
I got an autograph.
Picked up a couple things. Oh yeah, you got an autograph
from Mr. Ahmed.
How rude!
Speaking of. I'm pretty close. Speaking of Abed Bess and Jar Jar, like how was he? Like, because this was after the 20th anniversary panel.
Well, I think I had a slightly different experience than Kev, because Kev did the same thing yesterday. Got an autograph. You said he wasn't in a great mood.
Well, no, I'm not.
Or just
he was tired. Was fine. Looking. He just kind of just it looked just like a little bit. I mean, I think mine was kind of late in the day. I know yours was today, but it was nice and he was fine, but. Big smile on his face, but kind of just clearly didn't want to do much chit chat or much talking or anything. Not that you get much chance at these things.
Right.
Yeah, no, I walked up to him and shook his hand and handed him the thing, and I was like, thank you so much for being Jar Jar, and thank you so much for pioneering motion capture.
Heard.
Yeah. And I was like, because I think his stuff goes even before Lord of the Rings.
Oh, absolutely.
It's around the same time, but I think it's before with Gollum. But
Andy Serkis.
I followed that up with, like, where would we be today without you?
Yeah.
Well, they'd done digital animation in characters before, hadn't they? I think they'd done it in, like, young Sherlock Holmes and everything. But this was the first full digital character. So it preempted sort of Lord of the Rings and everything. So, and he said, didn't he? They were figuring it out kind of on set, weren't they? Him and George and the team and everything. And but yeah, it was great to, you know, get him here. And
yeah, so I said, where would we be without you? And he was like, tell that to my wife.
That's cool. That's nice to see him in like good spirits and stuff like that.
Yeah, he was really, really happy.
Any other shit?
I got some shit.
Yeah?
I got some shit.
What shit did you get?
I added to my Lando Lando Shrine. Yeah, baby. So I got, let's see, let's count them here. I got, how many Landos did I get this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Hello,
one,
what have we
two,
here?
Three, four, five. Oh, five sexy motherfuckers.
You need to talk about the Power of the Force one.
Oh,
look,
yeah.
Look at the super bulky.
Yeah, so we got a Power of the Force fucking Jack Lando. We got
super
a
super jacked Lando,
an
OG
Jedi
Lando. We got a Power of the Jedi Lando. We got a 3 3/4 Black Series Lando. We got a doll Bespin Lando.
My favorite, the Kenner original.
Yeah,
yep.
Kenner original.
1980 Lando.
Yeah,
unboxed,
baby.
Heard.
Uh huh. And what have we here? We got a couple dolls.
Couple dolls. Well, doll number one, like you said, is Bespin Lando, but yeah, what do you got behind there? What's
in
doll
a box.
Number two?
So quick question on that, Ed.
Yeah.
Have you
took
his clothes off yet?
Not yet, but it looks like I can.
But naked Lando.
And then finally, last but not least, we have Skiff Guard Lando.
Yeah,
as a doll.
Oh.
And his helmet looks dope.
That's sweet as shit.
That
comes
is real nice.
Comes with a little axe staff thingy.
Yeah.
It's probably a name for that, but I don't know it. And, yeah. Looks pretty damn good. A little darker skinned in that than the Bespin Lando, but...
They got the color wrong there, or no?
Yeah. Maybe it's because he's out in the desert of Tatooine. He's just a little more tan.
Got a little bit more of a suntan, more than normal.
I mean, I'm not being overcritical, but there's a huge difference there.
Those are definitely two
We've
different...
We've got, like, white Lando and black Lando there,
yeah,
aren't
exactly.
We? It's like, what the hell is going on
It's more like white Lando and, like, kind of black Lando.
It's like coffee with milk Lando and dark coffee, black coffee.
Yeah, clearly the people designing these dolls were not coordinating on the ink color when they were painting these.
Anyway, beautiful.
Maybe that was the only paint they had left on that one. Just like, oh, fuck that.
Both are sexy as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
they look great, man. They look great. They're really,
I'm absolutely in awe of your Lando shrine now. So.
Oh, yeah, and that'll add to what I have already. So
you're
going to
tweet that when you get everything together?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone will know.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone should know.
Yeah. So yeah, folks. I mean, that's kind of been our week here. We'll be adding in little tidbits here and there. Don't forget.
I got an autograph today.
Oh, where'd you get?
Mr. Craig Proops.
Big Quadrineros.
No, I don't care what universe you're from. That's gotta hurt.
That's a Tusken Raiders camped out on turn two.
Yeah, the guy looked like he'd just come from a wedding. That guy was like fucking. Slicked up to hell,
crimped up and everything. Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he drunk?
He didn't seem it.
Well, he just came.
I don't know. The weird thing was, is we were talking about his glaucoma. Get a load of that. Yeah, that stopped you, innit? That stopped you dead. Well, because like a few months ago, he was doing the Whose Line Is It Anyway reunion in the UK. They were doing like an anniversary show, and he didn't attend. So he pulled out at the last minute, so they got like replacements in. And for those that you know, remember Whose Line Is It Anyway, there was like the UK, and I think he did both. I think he did the UK and the US version. So I was like, oh, you know, great work on the Phantom Menace. He was like, oh yeah, thanks buddy, and you know, really enjoyed it. I said, oh, I was really disappointed, you know, that you didn't attend the Whose Line Is It Anyway reunion in London. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry buddy, but I got glaucoma and I had to have eyes. I'm like, well, how's it going then? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got to go back in a few weeks and it's not. And I'm like, this is the weirdest
thing. It's
not
good. I'll be permanently blind in about 6 months.
And I'm like, I don't really know what to say now. I'm like, how do you react to that?
There's not really much you can say at that point.
Then I was kind of moved along and everything. So.
Oh, my God. You mentioned Whose Line Is It Anywhere? I totally, because I used to watch that.
Yeah, the improv show.
Now you say that, I fucking recognize him.
Yeah.
Definitely recognize him.
He was great. I loved him. He was hilarious. I thought he was brilliant in it. So I think he's an author as well and done other things. So I wanted to get that one. And then, yeah, that was it. Picked up a post, some artwork. I got some free Mando stuff, some free Mandalorian posters. I got some of the propaganda poster. I got the Princess Leia propaganda poster, which was signed by the artist, which was really cool. So that's my whole.
Do you know who the artist was?
I do, and
I can't
remember
it. Oh, you can. Sorry.
I think it was, her name was Kat, was it Kat Steele or something? Because you know the propaganda book, the Star Wars propaganda book with all the artwork
I have
in
that,
it.
Yeah,
she's, she'd done some artwork that didn't get in there, but then she did, commissioned her to do some others, which we'll probably get in a later book. But there was one which got like a Princess Leia one with R2-D2 putting the plans in. It was really cool, and just having a chat with her. And I was specifically told by the guy that you buy it from, going, when you go over to her and you know, you get her to sign it, don't spoil Game of Thrones for her. She'd not seen that shit yet. And I'm like,
Of all the things. Like,
should I do it?
Just for a reaction.
So, but that was all, yeah. That's it.
Nice, nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that does it.
I think that does it. Folks, thank you for joining us. It's been episode number 66.
Do it.
Scruffy Looking Podcasters. We have enjoyed you listening to us while we've been here at Celebration, but yeah, we're going to have to go back to our regularly scheduled program after this. Next week, we have special guest Johnny Grasso from Rogue One. That's my Duke Ellington reference of the day.
Yeah,
Johnny Hodges. And this is Isfahan. Anyways.
Little sizzle.
Only old school jazzers will get that. So, yeah, check us out next week, April 22nd. We're going to have Johnny Grasso on for Rogue One. We've had a really fun time. Thank you so much for listening to us and watching all the videos and the posts and the pictures we've been posting in our Facebook page. But it's time to wrap it. So, Ed, take us away. And, folks, remember, stay strong, stay tough, and stay weird.
May the force of others be with you all.
Hey, everybody.
This party's over.